I'd like to say good morning to each one. Greetings in Jesus' name. This morning, I desire to look in the Word of God, thinking about what is truth. Thinking about truth and the question, do you love the truth? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you again this morning. I do want to thank you so much for your word. I want to thank you for Jesus. I want to thank you for truth. I ask you, Lord, to guide us and direct us here and not allow Satan to have any advantage over us this morning in any way, that your word can go into each one of our hearts and do as you will. For your honor and glory. All this we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the question this morning is, do you love the truth? And if I would raise for our hands, you would like to raise your hand. Going back to Sunday school, there was a lot of question asked in closing. How many of you studied your Sunday school lesson? Did you love the truth of that answer? Some of you who studied say yes. It takes humility to answer that question honestly if you did not study. And if you did study, do you feel that you should answer that question in humility also? So, who has the truth? Where and how to find the truth? Who is to proclaim the truth? Who is to speak the truth? And what is the attitude of your heart about truth? The truth of God's Word. We know in John 8:44 it says the devil did not abide in the truth. There is no truth in him. He is known as the father of lies. First Timothy 3:15, it talks about the body of Christ as the pillar and ground of the truth. A pillar is something that is there to hold something up. Pillars are leaned on, are beat on. They are to still hold something up. They get knocked on. Pillars, columns in a house, in a building. Yet they're still expected to do their job. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 8 through 12. Just start in here in verse 8. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This morning, do you love the truth? There are some things that we don't always like to think about. There are some parts of the Scripture that we do not always like to apply to our life. Your Sunday school lesson could hurt you sometimes. There can be a struggle in that. Some truths are hard to apply to me. Do you love the truth? Truth, if you love the truth, I believe you will believe it, share it, apply it to your life. Probably of all the truth that is hardest to take in and understand and believe is the truth about ourselves. You know, truth about God, it's available to you. His Word, it's there for you. To those of you who love the truth, it's available to those who love the truth. God's words, that's truth, is available to you. In your heart is there desire. Another place where it's hard to know the truth, and that at times is parents, what their children do. An example, I heard a mother one time tell a young man who was not a Christian, she told him, I knew both boys, she said, you know, you should spend more time with my son. He's a Christian. He would be a good example to you. You should be like him. I knew both young men quite well. And I knew the young Christian, the one that was a Christian when his mama wasn't watching. I knew quite well what all he did. That his mother would have said nothing if she would have known. I believe, parents, it is important for us to spend time in prayer, asking the Lord to help us to know what our children do, and that Satan will not be able to hide anything. I'd like to think about some things that veer us off the path, the course of obeying the truth, or away from what is truth. Some things that throw us off. We'll start by looking at some examples in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 4. Examples of people who had the truth presented to them. We'll read verses 3 through 7. In the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou dost not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. It does not say here in this chapter what kind of offering should be brought. I believe Cain knew. I believe he did. Personal, what I believe. But even so, the Lord said unto him, he spoke to him, and he said, Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. And if you do not do well, if not, sin is at the door. If you do not do what's correct, if you do not do what you should, you will fall in sin, or sin will fall into you. It will come into you, and you will have problems. So if you do well, you'll be accepted. We don't find lots of words. I understand. I believe to Cain it was made plain. You know, the truth is presented to you and made plain to you if you obey what you know and understand, no matter where you are in your life, if you obey the little that you know, blessings will follow. You don't have to know much. All you have to know is what little bit you have to do. Obedience will bring a blessing. If you disobey or do not love the truth presented to you, the truth you heard, then sin is at the door looking for a way in to your life. We read on, Cain went out, slew his brother. The Lord spoke to him again. Where is your brother? He had a chance. He had an opportunity at that time. I don't know if you've ever been in a moment where you had a chance. It would be easier to make things right now, harder later. The Lord said, Where's Abel, your brother? And he said, so, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Leave me alone. Just, what do you say? What do you feel like saying? Get out of my life. Leave me alone. What are you talking to me for? What have I done? Why don't you bother somebody else? What kind of attitude is that? Attitude of loving the truth? The Lord said, Now art thou cursed from the earth that opened its mouth to take in the blood of your brother, to receive thy brother's blood. What was Cain's problem? What can you say that he had? A stubborn, self-willed, unwilling to submit? Or could you ask, what was Cain's attitude? Is there any chance that you could have the same type of problem? Let's turn to Joshua chapter 7. There is a man among the congregation. His name was Achan. And Achan was told the truth in chapter 6, 17 and 18. It says, in Joshua 6, 17 and 18, "The city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein. To the Lord only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. And ye, in any wise, keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed. When ye take of the accursed thing, and make the camp of Israel a curse, and a trouble it." All the silver and gold consecrated to the Lord. If you keep anything for yourself, you will make yourself and the camp of Israel an accursed thing and cause trouble to the camp. In chapter 7, they went out to battle and men were killed. They lost the battle. They looked to the Lord. And the Lord said their sin. They found out who did the sin by the direction of the Lord. In verse 19 of chapter 7, 19 to 21, Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. Make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment, 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth, in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Achan saw. He coveted. He took. He hid. But you know, that was not what Achan planned to do that morning. And I do not believe Achan had any thoughts in his mind that's where he would end up, or that's the steps he was going to take. He started out the day another way. You know, Satan can get you on, if he could get you on a road, sometimes curiosity, a good chance on some areas you might sin. Every man when he is tempted, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Have you ever taken a step and ended up where you never thought you would end up that day? What was Achan's problem? We say covetousness, desire for what was not meant to be his, not obeying what he knew, thinking he could hide sin. What kind of a heart condition is that? He did not lack knowledge. Brothers and sisters, Christians, when you sin, or afterwards, somewhere in there, Can you say that you lacked knowledge? You could say you did not know everything, where it would all go. Many times you could say that honestly. But did you obey what you knew? It's just a simple thing of obedience that some of us try to teach our children. It's very important for our children. How is it for us? There was a small thing that happened to a woman. Some men said that she would have a child, and she laughed. And they said, "Why do you laugh?" And she said, "I didn't laugh." It's in Genesis 18. Because she was afraid. Does fear cause you to sin? Does fear cause you to not stand up for what, say what's true? We go to Joshua chapter 9. Joshua chapter 9, we have a story of some men who were tricky, presenting a lie. Verse 3 says, the inhabitants of Gibeon, in Joshua chapter 9, verse 3, heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai. They did work wily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent, bound up, and old shoes clouded upon their feet, old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." There's men today who are willing to do work like this, presenting a lie. And sometimes they present it to the congregation. They did here. Look in verse 14. Men took of their victuals and did ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And made peace with them, made a league with them, to let them live. And made peace. With tricky, wily people. Why? Because they did not look to the Lord for counsel. They asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. What was their problem? Why did they do this? I know enough. I was born maybe in the night, but not last night. I know what to do. I've seen this before. How much do you love the truth? Do you realize that the truth is that God is truth? And in Him is no darkness at all. There was a man called Peter sitting around a fire, or standing around a fire, warming himself, that when the truth was presented to him, he didn't like it. When the Lord had told him earlier, "You will deny me before the cock crows 3 times. He didn't like that. Truth hurts me. Truth burns. I don't know. But you know, God's Word is like a fire, is like a hammer. religious leaders, some of them in the time of Christ, spoke evil of Jesus. What was their problem? When we speak with our mouth, there's two types of truth, I guess I'm thinking of. One is what we say, and the Word of God, there's doctrine, what is truth. You know, the lip of truth is established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Jesus said, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to come to the Father, you need truth. And you need truth applied to your life. You need to take the truth you know and understand. What is true? And do it. Obey it. The Word says, confess your faults one to another and be healed. You would like to be healed without confessing your sin, without confessing your faults. You want to be healed. You want to be normal. You want to be able to function at full capacity. Have you applied truth to your life? Do you love the truth? You know, it's easy to apply truth to someone else. And sometimes it's easy to stand up and be a pillar for the truth. But is it okay for you? Are you capable of actually applying truth to your life and obeying it? Pilate said, what is truth? And the truth was before him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know, Satan uses all the tools he can get his hands on. And the tools he uses, his purpose is to use them to maim, to kill, destroy, means, mode of destruction. And if he can get his hands on you, he would like to use you as a tool. Today we serve a Father in heaven. The same Father who Jesus had when he was here on earth. And that Father in heaven allowed his Son to die on the cross, to be spit upon, beat, the crown of thorns put on his head, and that beat, he allowed that to happen to his Son. He was broken and bruised. And that father had enough power to raise his son from the dead, among the dead. And our Father has power to raise to life those who have died. You want healing in your life? Our Father in heaven has power to raise you from the dead. Raise you in newness of life if you're willing to die. And death comes sometimes after being broken. After dying to self, you can be raised in newness of life. And like Jesus, you may have scars, although they may not be on your hands. You know, Jesus is coming again, and you may be washed in the blood, and you can have a clean heart, and you can have peace with Him and be waiting for His coming. This morning, don't say like Pilate, "What is truth?" Don't stand and brag that you're a pillar of truth and you took a beating standing up for some doctrine of the Bible. That's good. Be humble and be with among those people who love the truth and apply it to their life. Right where it hurts. Right where you don't want to think about it. Right on that point. And find blessings and peace with God that you haven't found for a while. Let's kneel for prayer.